Quirk. Live on DAB Digital Radio, colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The National Education Union is considering whether to offer a formal strike ballot over pay. Members in England and Wales are indicating they will strongly back it. The government's yet to offer a pay rise for this year. Meanwhile, the majority of teachers say they want a new system of inspection to be introduced because Ofsted has too many problems. Daniel Kebbedy is from the National Education Union.
Well, 90% of teachers think that the single word judgments are an unfair reflection of school performance, and just 3% of the profession think that they are accurate at all. So it's a real important issue at the moment.
Israel says an airstrike that killed 7 aid workers in Gaza should not have happened. 3 British people are among those who died working for World Central Kitchen. And conservationists say that they have recorded the lowest ever count of some butterfly species in the UK in a yearly survey. Scientists say the numbers are a good indicator of the overall health of the environment. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Stephen Davis.
Why do I race for life? For my biggest cheerleader, the best strawberry pancake maker, my fave hair braider and matching PJ buddy. The most forgetful person I know, but the one who makes me feel so happy and calm. She ran with me in her tummy, with me in the pushchair, and now with me by her side. My mum's name is Crystal, and I'm racing for her.
No matter how cancer affects us, life is worth racing for. Sign up to your local event at raceforlife.org by the 29th of April to get 30% off entry in partnership with headline sponsor Standard Life.
Coming up, The Business Mix Show.
Imagine, it's Wednesday. 1 minute you're at the gym, you're doing it, getting those steps in, not thinking about pizza, and definitely not clock watching. Ugh. Only 56 and a half more minutes left. And the next, that'll do. You're a millionaire. Lotto, will you be next? Play on app, the National Lottery. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio,
The Business Mix Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, and a very good evening to you, wherever you may be. Welcome to The Business Mix. I am, as always, Chrissy.
And I am Rachel, yes. And as my fabulous co-host said, welcome to The Business Mix on Colourful, where we bring you the best in all things black business across the UK and sometimes even further abroad, actually. We're international, right?
We are. We're international, guys. We're international. We hope you're listening wherever you may be. Can you believe, I always say this about how far in the year we've come already, and it's crazy. We're coming to April, and then it'll be June, and then Christmas. It'll be in August, and then it'll be December. But hey ho,
we look forward to April though. April's a special month, not just because it's the start of a new tax year, not just because of that, not just because it's the Business Mix birthday
it's
month.
Our birthday,
it's also Chrissy's birthday month as well, so we'll have to
it see. Is.
And I think a little bird tells me it might be our guest's birthday month as well. I mean, April is, it's a special time. We're gonna hear more about that, because I need to hear a little bit more about what you guys have got planned this year for birthdays to celebrate our trip around the sun. Another trip around the sun. So anyway, I'm really excited for this show. I met a girl. I feel like I need to give a little backstory. I met this guest online, actually. Just, you know, nothing by coincidence.
Like you do.
Nothing by chance. And I'd already heard of her business, of her company, previously. So I was like, oh, this is nice to find, you know, you finally put like a face to the, like kind of the brand type thing. Then we ended up spending the day together at News UK headquarters, where we got to see the in and outs of kind of another kind of media mogul brand conglomerate business, which was great. And I was like, oh my gosh, I always wanted to have you on the show. Definitely, now that I've met you, I'm going to make it happen. And here we are. So I'm really excited, really pleased to introduce to our studio today, Miss Palmer Black, who's the founder of Soul Purpose 360. Welcome. Welcome, Palmer.
Hey, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for inviting me, Rachel. It was a really great day, wasn't it? You know, we got to, like you said, really see the inner of how those big conglomerates work. So yeah, it was a fantastic day, and thank you guys for having me, Chrissy and Rachel. Welcome. I'm really excited to be here. Yay.
I guess we should probably say thanks to Media Trust for sorting out the day for us,
introducing you and starting that relationship.
And I think for me it would be Sound Delivery Media who put me in trust in connection with the Media Trust for that particular day. So yeah, you know, it's all about the connections, isn't it, Rachel?
Absolutely. And I know that your organization Soul Purpose 360 is all about building those connections, that networking, that collaborating. And I guess just to give a little bit more context, our show today is about running a community interest company, a CIC, or CIC, however you like to term it. I guess bringing the best of having a social purpose, trading, creating profit and business, but doing good at the same time. So really interesting to hear your kind of journey into it, how you're finding it, and kind of like where you'd like to go with it as well. So
I'm excited because I know nothing, so always, and I don't know Palmer. So the first question I like to say, please Palmer, introduce yourself and your organization and what you do.
Okay, so I am the founder and now the CEO of Soul Purpose 360. It was initially set up in 2019 as a limited company. And then by the end of the year, it was registered as a community interest company. And when I set it up, guys, I initially intended to just coach and mentor a handful of Black women at a time. And then we went into lockdown and women started flocking to the organization, and it's really has had an organic growth. And during lockdown, we coined the term the National Black Women's Networking and Empowerment Circle. Nice. So Soul Purpose 360 effectively is a coaching, mentoring and training organization for Black women. When I say Black, I mean anyone who can or does experience racism. We have a national network. We have a global membership, to be honest. And we do quite a lot of different things. So in addition to running the one-to-one coaching, mentoring, training, that kind of thing, we have local groups that our members are setting up around the country. We put on events. We do networking activities as well. And yeah, just so much other stuff.
Fantastic. And I can, you know, as we're kind of, or as I've been looking at the work that you're doing, reading the website, even I can see it right here as I'm reading, you know, that your mission of cultivating Black women for social change via your coaching, mentoring and all that kind of support. I just wondered, you know, you're doing, it's almost like you're walking the walk and talking the talk. So, you know, you're cultivating Black women for that are going to be leading, doing social change whilst doing social change yourself. So what was it that decided, I guess, that you made a decision to kind of segue from a limited company into a community interest company? What was it about the CIC that kind of made you think, yeah, this is where I need to be?
So my background in terms of the legal models of social enterprises began decades before. So there was a time, Rachel, when you could be a company limited by guarantee and have access to all of the, you know, specialties that CICs have. And indeed, I was thinking about that before the interview started. So way back in 1998, I was working at a charity in Hackney, and the guy upstairs was running a company called Social Enterprise London. So this is way before, yeah, Jonathan Bland was doing that. And I used to, you know, listen to them talking about this idea of blending business, corporate business, with doing social good and the legal framework that would entail. So over the years, I've kind of kept an eye on what was going on in that arena. And some years later, when I attempted my first social enterprise, I ended up having a long conversation with Bates, Wells and Braithwaite, who were tasked by the government to come up with a legal form. And they grilled me about what all of the things were that what I wanted out of being able to do this. And one of the things I wanted more than anything was to be able to have a business that could trade on the open market, also access to funding, but also a business that would pay me a salary to do the job as well, with other some other subtle nuances that, you know, charities don't have. So a charity, you know, you have to have an annual general meeting and then people can vote you out of your own organization. I didn't want to have that as well. So our legal model, one of the reasons why I chose a CIC was because it ticked every single thing that I wanted in a legal form that will enable me to be free to do the social justice thing, to be the business side of thing, but also that safeguarded, knowing that I've set up something, no one can vote me out of it, and that at some point in the future it could be my day job. And it is.
Yeah, wow. You made it happen.
Yeah.
So how did you find the process? Because so in case of those who are listening who are not sure, CIC is a community interest company, as you said, trading, you're doing business, you're generating, I was going to say profit, but actually it's called a surplus when you've got a CIC, which any profit that you make, any surplus that you make is reinvested back into the business to continue doing your social good.
Absolutely.
And I do remember actually there was a time when there were some, and I think they're still here, some businesses, they registered both with Companies House as a limited company and with Charities Commission as well. And I think it created a lot of admin and a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of reporting and paperwork. So, yeah, I do remember when, as you said, like the social enterprise model was kind of first being brought to the fore, everyone was like, wow, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be a lot simpler. How did you find the process changing from a limited company to a CIC?
It was very, very straightforward. And one of the things that we do in Soul Purpose 360 is we help our members to set up CICs as well.
Yeah.
And it is a really straightforward process. I think that you can overcomplicate it. Mm. The form that they ask you to fill in is really straightforward. You know, it asks you, you know, what is it that your social objectives are? And you need to be really clear about what the social aspect of your business is. That's what drives your business. And oftentimes, you know, people come to me and they say, I want to set up a CIC because I want to be able to get funding. And when I start grilling them about their business, actually they're not clear on what the social objectives of their business are. And I think if it's not immediately clear to you, then it's maybe not a social enterprise.
Mm.
So that's the first thing. I think the second thing about what makes the CIC quite unique is the asset lock. And a lot of people are kind of confused what that means. So the social enterprise movement, because it's rather than just being a business, it's actually a movement. You are part of a social enterprise movement where people are trying to change the world effectively. And you have to have an asset lock on your business. And what that means is an organisation like a charity or another CIC that you nominate to be the organisation or the business. So should your business collapse, that business will inherit your surplus, like you talked about, your profit and your assets as well. And why is that? So that the sector can continue to grow and thrive and we don't lose, money doesn't seep away, you know. So you cannot, you know, think, yeah, I'm going to get all this funding and then I'm going to change my organisation into a limited company and keep the money. So it's a safeguard for the sector and for the economic value of the sector.
So it's very much that, I don't know, we would call it, I guess within our community, that's that generational wealth. Like you want to kind of keep in where you are, but like
keep the money.
This is with it. This is sector-wide. Yeah. Sorry, Chrissy, were you going to say?
I was going to say, does the work still continue? So even though the money may have transferred to the parent company or whatever you may call it, does the work still continue?
No, or so it doesn't. So the company closes down. If I was to shut down Soul Purpose 360 tomorrow, all of our surpluses, you know, would go to St. Christopher's Hospice, which is our asset lot. And this is a hospice that looked after my sister in the final days before she passed away. And I just felt, as a charity, hospices, you know, they don't get funding from government sources. Why not? You know, so that's the reason why I was motivated to use St. Christopher's Hospice as our asset lock.
Yeah.
Choose any company? It doesn't
you matter. Can choose any charity, any other social enterprise, because charities and social enterprises have an asset lock.
Yeah.
And so the money just stays within that sector.
Mm-hmm. Rach.
Go for it.
I was just going to ask if you could tell us a bit more about what your organisation does and how you kind of support and empower Black women to make, you know, those positive impacts in the community. Do you have programmes? What services do you provide? And how do you engage women?
Yeah, so on lots of different levels, really. So let's start with the network. So we have a large network, and at one end of that network, we have women there who will ring me up and they'll say, Pam, I don't really know why I'm here. My mother, sister, auntie, cousin, next door neighbour, friend, whoever, told me I needed to join your network. And oftentimes those women are Black women who are socially isolated. They may be experiencing personal problems, debt problems. They may even be in employment and are experiencing bullying and harassment at work, whatever that their reason, they're there. At the other end of the spectrum, women like yourself, really, who are running your projects in your businesses. We've got women who are award-winning social entrepreneurs. We have lawyers and doctors. We've got counsellors and counsellors and psychotherapists and trauma specialists and housing managers and people who do yoga and Reiki and all of that. And what the women do in that space is they support one another. So if, for example, you know, you are going to put on an event and you're looking for someone to do catering, you share in there, does anyone, people will come forward for catering. If you put in there and you say that I have a problem at my child's school, somebody will know somebody or somebody will be able to help you. So what we're doing in that space is providing social capital for Black women. And we can't take it for granted that women know of somebody who's an expert in housing management when they're facing eviction, or we can't take it for granted that somebody knows about diabetes management, but somebody else in that space will do. So that's kind of what the network is about. And then we have our members who will go away and set up local groups in their community, and we call those local Soul Purpose 360 local groups. And we have quite a few of those in London and the Southeast, and we'll be establishing more all the way across the country this year. And what these women do is they come together and they host monthly empowerment workshops that are determined by the members. So the members may say, we want to learn about personal boundaries, or they want to know about rest, or they want to know about self-love. Whatever that topic is, the women who come to those groups are the ones that determine that what the topic or the theme is. So they are run on a monthly basis. We run coaching and mentoring programs. More recently, we did one called Empowered Me, where we worked with a handful of women and they got one-to-one coaching, mentoring, training. And the purpose of that was to help them to identify their goals, their sole purpose, and to help them to set up projects, programs, businesses, whatever it is that they wanted to do. So there's lots of different ways in which we do things, and we're doing a lot, probably too much for me to explain in this as well. So more recently we've got involved in co-housing, actually. But by chance I was sitting listening to some women talking about how socially isolated they all felt, and how the local group was changing their life, the impact the local group was having, simply because they were able to meet with other women on a regular basis in a really positively focused mindset. And so these women were talking about, you know, isolation, and wouldn't it be nice if we could all live in the same place together. And I listened in to this conversation. And because I work in social housing, I thought to myself, actually, there's something in this. Yeah. You know, there are so many Black women who are living in social housing, that are living in private rented accommodation, that are, you know, living in their own homes, that are actually on their own. You know, they've got health issues, they've got, you know, they're suffering from depression and loneliness and isolation, all of those things. And all of those things are not good for us mentally or physically. But there are options of social housing where people can live together.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's something else that we're working on with a housing association, and we're looking to bring people together to establish co-housing villages and communities for Love Black it. Elderly.
Well, Love I mean, it. I can see, you know, when you're talking about your meetups and what you do, so I'm looking at the empowerment circle, so I was just looking online, and I can see, like you said, you are across London, so you've got Croydon, Greenwich, Hounslow, Lambeth, Lewisham, Newham, Southwark, but also outside of London.
Yeah.
Yorkshire, Birmingham, and, as you said, internationally in Sierra Leone as well. So you're very busy, is what I can
yes.
say. Like, you are doing a lot of things, but at the same time supporting an amazing number of women. But I just...
Not just me, Rachel, and I think that's really important. So I set up Soul Purpose 360, but we are the sum of our parts. You know, so somebody may call me up and they may have an employment tribunal issue, and then I will connect them to somebody else who can help them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also about the women in that network and how they support one another in that space. And oftentimes, you know, when I meet a Black woman and I say to her, you know, we've got this Black women's network, and they're like, yeah, maybe not, yeah, no, but me and Black women, yeah, not. But when I say to them, look, join the WhatsApp group, because we've got all these different WhatsApp groups, join the national WhatsApp group. You don't have to engage in the WhatsApp group. You can just sit and watch and observe what's happening in the WhatsApp group. And then they do, and then I see them start participating in conversations, and then may ring me up and say, you know, I've met this wonderful woman and she's my best friend now, and it's those kind of things that are life changing.
Yes.
You know, when you meet somebody who you resonate with, whose presence in your life is genuinely about supporting you and helping you and showing you love and compassion. And you know, what we provide is safe spaces where women can come and they're not judged. And I think that is so, so important, you know, particularly in this time where, you know, Black women are being judged.
Yeah.
And we're being harassed and we're being bullied on a grand scale.
And I can only imagine some of the conversations that have been taking place over the past couple of weeks with, you know, as you said, it's been happening forever, but as it's come to the spotlight platform, especially, you know, things that have been going on with Diane Abbott and, you know, things that have been said and not challenged. So I can only imagine that having that, as you said, safe space, that sanctuary, the place where you actually know that you can talk, discuss without fear, without judgment. You're providing a much needed service and space for us.
Yeah,
thank you. And you said your whole network and your whole team are doing that. Can you tell us a little bit about the name Soul Purpose 360? Because we love it.
Yeah.
What's the meaning behind it? How did you come up with this?
Do you know, I think like a lot of people, we get to a point in our life where, you know, we're dissatisfied with things that are happening in our lives, whether that, you know, be that day job that you hate or that relationship that's broken down, and you begin to question, say, God, you know, what is my purpose in life? And I think, you know, I had been asking that question for some time, you know, what is my soul purpose? You know, not just my purpose. What is my soul purpose? What is that thing that I'm searching for that's going to make me feel a certain way deep in my core? And I think that it kind of came to a head when my sister was ill. But what I would say, Rachel, is that... what I do now with Soul Purpose 360 is the sum total of all of my experiences that I've had throughout my life, you know, the good and the bad, the traumatic and the downright awful. And I'm in a place now where I can use my life experiences to help others, and I think that that's really important. So I've been searching for my soul purpose for some time. I didn't know what shape or form. It might have been a hobby. I don't know what it was going to take on and be. So I've worked in community development for many, many years, and I would, you know, be out in the community and I'd be meeting people and saying to them, look, you know, we're going to regenerate your estate. You know, can you tell me what are the issues in your community? And they would tell me what the issues were. They would also tell me what the solutions were. But when it came to me saying to them, how about getting involved? Then they started backtracking and telling me all the reasons why they couldn't. Oh, my God. It used to drive me mad. So one of the things that I wanted to do was to be able to motivate people to want to be involved in their community. And I wanted to be able to support them to overcome those personal excuses. You know, so I used to ask to be more impactful in the lives of individuals. And so I began to train as a coach. And that's where I kind of began to understand that, you know, your soul and your purpose is bound up in mindset. And that's what coaching is all about. And so that's when I kind of thought, yeah, I'm going to do and set up a coaching business and I'm going to help Black women. So that was that bit. But the 360, was because in the early days when I was coaching people, men and women, in my training, what became really clear was that people would say, you know, and I was guilty of that as well. I'm searching for my purpose in life, and I've been there, and I've been over there, and I've done this, and everything was externalized. And actually, 180 degrees. It's the furthest we can get away from ourselves. And when you get there and you still haven't found what you're looking for, you can become really despondent. But when you do a full 360, you realize that actually the thing that you were looking for was inside of you all along. You know? And so when I say that what Soul Purpose 360 means to me, it's all of my experiences that I've had, you know, from the racism and the domestic violence, being a single parent, experiencing domestic, you know, bullying and harassment at work, the sexism, all of that stuff is how I use that in Soul Purpose 360. So when women are coming to me and they're saying to me, you know, I can't do whatever, or I've experienced this, you know, my thing is use that experience.
Yeah.
That is your lived experience. That's your qualification. That's the thing that you have experience that can help somebody else. And so that's what we do. We help women to identify and see their I always talk about seeing their pain and their shame as their superpower. You know, I have a saying that I say practically every single day to people: when you look at things differently, the things you look at change. So you can look at that experience and think, oh my God, I've experienced that, and, you know, it's the end of my world. Or you can say, actually, that experience, out of that, I have grown, I've become stronger, I've become more resilient, and I can teach others how to overcome that particular experience as well.
Yeah,
fantastic. I laugh because I remember the experience myself. I think me and Rachel both have experience of community development, and we always had that battle of, yes, we've got this great idea, let's engage everyone, what's your ideas? And, you know, the feedback was sometimes negative, sometimes positive, but it was really hard to engage. And I wonder if things have changed in the most recent years, where people are willing to engage now because they feel like, yes, I'm really wanting to impact in my community. Or is it still the same, trying to, what's that saying when you're trying to, oh, I don't know, get the people in more, but they're not, I can't remember the saying, but anyway, just that note, you know, I'm bumbling. But is it the set, has it changed? Are you getting more people engaging?
I think sometimes some people didn't feel empowered enough to that their input would make a difference, I think.
And
but now I feel people, I don't know, for me, I work mostly with young people, getting them to have their voice heard and them to create an impact. And I think they're very much, yeah, I'm going to do this. My voice matters. I'm going to make a difference. Like, you know, so maybe that's it. Maybe, and the work that you're doing, Palmer, is helping people to feel more empowered. Yeah, it's helping them to understand that actually, the journey starts with one step, and that one step is going to make the difference. So it'd be there.
I mean, some of the feedback we get from some of the women who will say, after coming to your workshop, I felt more confident. I found myself in a meeting at work, or I found myself in a council meeting, and I spoke up and they listened to me. And as a result of that, so-and-so changed. And I think that's the kind of bare minimum that I want.
Yeah,
I've sat in meetings, where I have enabled millions of pounds to be directed to Black communities, or, policies to be changed that's going to benefit our community simply by being at that table. I cannot be at every single table. And oftentimes, if Black people, if Black women aren't at that table, who's going to advocate for us?
Yeah.
So it's about opening up opportunities for others. I get invited to sit on community panels and attend meetings, and I'm saying, not me, let me get somebody else to take up that space. And I think that that's one of the things that we really do need to do more as a community of people, is to open up opportunities for others, in the recognition that yes, maybe we might be able to be effective in that space, but so can somebody else.
So I think we need a drum roll, because
drum roll, please.
Understand that you recently got funding from the National Lottery to help you with some of your work. Tell us a bit more about that and what you're doing with that, and how it's going to impact the work you do.
So when I set up Soul Purpose in 2019 and we launched in 2020, it really was just me. And like I said, I just wanted to just coach and mentor just a handful of women, and it just grown and grown and grown.
Yeah.
And what I have needed for a long time is staff. Mm-hmm. I've needed, other people to help me in the business. I've got an amazing team of volunteers. But what I wanted was to be able to pay people to work on Soul Purpose as well. So the funding we got, £201,260 for 2 years is to... It's for staffing. So we're actively recruiting individuals. We've got 2 posts out at the moment. One is for a local group development officer. And as the name says, it's to help the organisation, to help our members to set up groups around the country. So they will be out in the community, empowering women to set up these groups and delivering training and doing so, so much more. And the idea for me really is that there should be an empowerment circle within reach of every Black woman that wants to have access to personal development. So that's the first one. The other one is a marketing officer, and their job really is on 2 levels. It's to bring together our membership, because our membership, Rachel and Chrissy, is spread across a whole range of different social media networks. And membership is free. So we've got women who don't want to be in the WhatsApp group, but they want emails or text messages or whatever. So that person will bring all them together. But they will also be really instrumental in promoting our campaign that we've got going at the moment, called Definition Redefined. And that campaign, like the title says, it's about how we redefine the narrative about and for Black women, and how we empower Black women in that space. So that campaign is going to be running for quite some time, and that person is going to be really instrumental in helping to shape and promote that campaign as well. So that's really what the funding is for. But we've got a clear set of outcomes and outputs and impacts that we need to be to reach as well. So some of that is around how we will deliver our services, and how we will empower Black women in this space to set up their projects, to set up social enterprises, to help them to overcome personal obstacles and challenges, how many groups we're going to set up around the country, and how those groups are going to be influential in local statutory services as well. So we've got some really clear markers. And one of the things that the lottery have been really generous in doing is giving us some funding to monitor and evaluate our program as well, so we can demonstrate the impact that we're having in the lives of Black women as well. So, the funding is going to be a complete game changer for Soul Purpose 360.
That monitoring will help you establish your impact as well. So past the funding of 2 years, but hopefully you'll get more funding in the coming years so you can continue.
Absolutely.
Sustainable in that way. So that's great. Well, we look forward to seeing what else comes from. That's amazing.
Yeah. So the funding is really about upscaling Soul Purpose 360, you know? So, yeah, fantastic.
So what is, or rather not what is, but as we're talking, you know, as a community interest company, you've got this funding, which is great. You're also still going to be generating funds as well. So you're still going to be traded. You're still going to be, you know, going out there and winning contracts and winning all of that. How do you, I guess, walk the line of generating that funding through trading and through the activities that you do and not losing sight of, you know, your core kind of social mission of empowering these Black women? So, you know, how, what, for example, you know, because what happens, it does happen, you get great opportunities to do particular pieces of work that might not quite align with your kind of, I guess, so not with your goals, with your kind of targets. For example, you might get called to go and deliver to, I don't know, men in, who knows, Aberdeenshire or something, which kind of might take you a little bit away from your
Do you know what? I don't think that would be a problem for me.
Yeah.
I'm very clear about what we are about. You know, I'm and I think that whilst there is, we have a diverse portfolio in terms of what we can do, our core is about Black women. Our members, we've got members who deliver services to men.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, we don't have to be in all those places. So I'm very clear about what it is that we will do, can do, should do, and also should not do as well, because our values mean so much to what we are as a social enterprise. But there are lots of different ways in which we can and do attract funding or attract income as well. So we have a merchandise line as well. We produce clothing and books. I design all of those and market all of those as well. I often get asked to speak at meetings, and when I get paid for that, that money goes back into the business as well. We take part in other people's projects and programs, and they pay us to deliver. So there's lots of different ways. I think that when you're a social enterprise, there are so many different ways in which you can generate an income.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can do that independently, and we call that unrestricted costs, you know, the unrestricted funds. So we have and when you attract unrestricted funds, you can do with that whatever you want in your business.
Yeah.
When you have funding from a national lottery or whoever it is, you are then restricted to how you can use that money. So so there's lots of different ways in which you can generate core funding, unrestricted funding for you to do what it is that you want to do with that. And then you, there's particular projects and programs that you will get funding for that you have to stick really clearly to what you say you're going to deliver.
Absolutely. And it is important, you know, because we've all seen kind of organizations who are heavily reliant on funding bodies and trusts and grants, and when that money stopped coming in, or let's say the grant body changed their focus and their goals, that organization stopped getting the funding, and then unfortunately, you know, they fold. They could have been doing some really great work, really powerful impact, but because they didn't they weren't diverse in how their income was coming in. As you said, they didn't have a lot of unrestricted funding. We kind of lose that within the...
That's why it's all about sustainability and looking outside that box of funding, definitely. And I think through our experience in the community sector, we see that you'll get funding for a few years and then it stops and then start something else that's completely new. And the community are going, what happened to that project? So it's really about sustainability, and it's really good that you're looking outside just the funding to look at other resources.
So if we go back to the earlier conversation we had in terms of what I was looking for, that was one of the things as well. You know, having worked in community development for eons, you know, you see all these projects that come about, and then all of a sudden the fund is stopped, the project's gone, and the people, the beneficiaries, are thinking, well, what's going on?
Yeah,
you know. And so we do need to be looking about how we can diversify our portfolio, not only our services, but also, you know, how we generate an income and how we use that for maximum benefit. For a long time, Sole Purpose 360 wasn't funded.
Mm,
you know, yeah. I work full time still, and I feel no way about putting money into my business because I'm committed to the business, you know. And I think that oftentimes when people are thinking, yeah, I want to set up a community project, whatever, and they're thinking about the money rather than thinking about the social impact that they want to have.
Mm-hmm.
And the real test of a social impact driver is their passion and what they will do in the absence of any funding in order to enable that thing to happen.
Yeah.
And it costs nothing to go to a meeting and speak in that meeting and advocate for your community. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes nothing to connect with somebody else and spend time with them. So there's lots that we can do in the absence of funding, but funding and finances, of course, help us to do much more. But that passion, that's got to be your driver.
A question before we start wrapping up. You've been doing this for years, and I'm sure you've had lots of things along your way. What are kind of some of your insights and advice you could share with our listeners today, or with other Black women who are kind of looking to start or kind of grow their community initiatives?
Well, that's a big question. I think if I'm thinking about some of the women that come to Sole Purpose, a lot of them will tell me that they've had these dreams going around in their head for 10, 15, 20 plus years, you know. And so one of the things I say to these women is, we only passed this way once.
I love that.
You know, you've got to start doing what's keeping you awake at night. You know, you've got to take those first steps. So I think the first thing I would say is join Sole Purpose 360 and begin to make those connections. Oftentimes what these dreams are, they can be really, really huge, ambitious dreams, you know. And when you're just looking at that one big goal, it can be energy draining just to even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you break it up into bite-sized pieces, into pigeon steps, you know, and if you do something every single day, you're working towards that. So if today, you know, you have an idea in your head, write it down. You know, tomorrow, take the first step. You know, if it's a phone call you need to make, if it's an email that you need to send it. If you don't feel confident, find somebody in Sole Purpose 360 or women like yourself who you can talk to and get that little bit of confidence to take those steps. But whatever you do, just do it.
That's been my motto. It's like, you know what, just do it. It doesn't, you know, because we spend a lot of time in our heads as women.
Yes.
And as Black women, we're always kind of, okay, but if I do that, then what? And then if I do that, yeah, then this might happen. But actually, we don't know what's going to happen. I read something yesterday. I can't remember where I read it, but it was really impactful, really powerful, that it said that a lot of the time we spend a lot of our energy, a lot of our focus thinking about the worst case scenario. And it's only fair to ourselves to spend as much time or more thinking about the best case scenario.
Yeah.
And what difference would that make if every time we were thinking about taking a step, making a decision, making a choice, the first thought that came into our head was the best case scenario rather than the worst? So I concur. We take that small step, which you said pigeon steps. I love that. I don't say baby step, but the pigeon steps works as well. Just dip your toe in the water and see what happens.
And you don't have to do it on your own either, you know. I've got women that have come to Sole Purpose with a dream to do something, and I've connected them with somebody else who's also dreaming about a similar thing, and, you know, do it together. You know, so if it seems too daunting, you know, connect with somebody else and do that. You don't have to do it on your own. You know, there are so many people that have similar dreams. And, you know, I think something which is really particular about our community, they have these ideas and they think, well, I'm not going to share it because somebody else is going to teeth it. Well, please, if you don't do it, you know, then let somebody else do it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I want to share it, but I'm not going to do it because I don't want anybody else to do it first. But I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, please share, talk, discuss. Thank you very much, Palmer, for coming on. You've been really inspirational. And I know that there are people that are listening that were probably thinking, how can I get in touch? How can I connect with Soul Purpose 360? Or I'd love to have a conversation with Palmer, or I want to go to one of the groups or events. How can people get in touch with you and reach out? What's the best way?
Quite simply, visit the website, soulpurpose360.co.uk. My email address and telephone number are on there. I'm 100% contactable, you know, and, you know, all the local groups are there as well. So, you know, visit the website, have a look around. If it resonates with you, join the membership. It's free.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Palmer. Really interesting and discussion today. I loved having you on, and all the best. We look forward to hearing some updates. We might get you back for updates on what you're doing.
Fabulous. Ladies, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Rachel and Chrissy.
Thank you. Thank you, Palmer.
Take care.
And thank you, Chrissy, for being my co-pilot today and every day on the Business Mix. It's been a pleasure being with you. Just stay tuned, colourful. Great more things coming up on the airway, so keep it colourful.
Stay tuned, and we'll see you next week.
The Business Mix Show.
Make me swear. Make me harder, make me lose my breath, make me water, make me sweat, make me harder, make me lose my breath, make me water.
Normally, I could keep my cool, but tonight I'm whining. I'ma be in a dangerous mood, can you match my timing? Telling me that you really about it, what you're hiding. Talk is cheap, so show me that you understand. I like it. Can you blow my
gone forever. When a real leave, you gon' wish you never met. And I'm a real, don't make them like me no more. Before I share my bed, I sleep on floors. I told you, I'm a wife, I can't be your. We different prices, I don't go for what she go for. Please, keep your keys, I'm changing all these locks. About to find a new knock, give them all this. Trying to bring me down, I give them all this. See, I got some money, boo, I do what I wanna do. And I've been a honey, boo, turn me to a dog, I'm barking woof. Now I'm gone.
I got it, I know this feeling. I'm lost in your eyes. I just wanna be with you. Airplane some mine, won't you feel the sights? I just wanna be with you. So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do you want from me? I'ma teach you what to write. Don't need to compromise. I'ma change my ways for you.
I want it, do you want it? I wanna spend the night with you. Do you want it? Cause I got it. I know this feeling's new to you too. So what do we do?
So what do we do?
It's new to me too. So what do we do?
Straight out of our lids. Them, they got boo bodies, hard rock Brooklyn kids. Us, floor rush, when the DJ booming classics. You dig the crew on the fattest hip-hop record. He touch the kinks and sinks into the sounds. She frequents deep, fatter joints called undergrounds. Our funk zooms like you hit the Mary Jane. They flock to booms, man, Boogie had to change. Who freaks the clips with mad amount percussion? Where kinky hair goes to unthought of dimensions? Why's it so fly? Cause hip-hop kept some drama. When Butterfly rock the light blue suede boomers. What about a cut? We push it off the corner. How was the buzz entire hip-hop era? Was fresh in fact since they started saying Audi. Cause funk's made fat from right beneath my hood. The pooba of the styles like Miles and ish. Like 60s funky worms with waves and perms. Just sending junky rhythms right down your block. We beat to rap, what key beat to lock? But I'm cool like that. 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 I'm cool. I'm cool.
Queen be the chocolates, tats on my raps. She innovates after sweeter cat naps. He at the funk club with the vibrate. Them they be crazy down with the five mate. It can kick a plan, then a crowd burst. Me, I be digging it with the bug burst. Us, we be freaking till dawn, peace and I. He gets a stranger smile, so I say hi.
What's up?
Who understood? Yeah, understood the plans. Him, her, the beat,